On the top it's 186. On the bottom it's 356, closer to the bottom. Okay, basically we're in the middle of a question that the Alter Rebbe asked. And that is, there's certain Avedis, the Alter Rebbe is trying to explain, not trying, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, we're trying to understand what he's explaining. The Alter Rebbe is explaining what's the concept of tshuva. The Alter Rebbe says tshuva is two words, toshuv hei, meaning returning the letter hei to God's name. Hashem's name has two heis, yud hei and vav hei. Okay, so obviously the Alter Rebbe is explaining through a sin, the letter hey gets lost, and the concept of tshuva is returning the letter hey back to where it's supposed to be. So the Alter Rebbe says to understand that, and there's obviously two levels of tshuva. There's a lower level of tshuva, meaning returning the lower hey of God's name, which is called the lower level of tshuva. Then there's a higher level of tshuva, which is returning the higher level of God's name, the higher hey of Hashem's name. So in order to understand that, the Alter Rebbe asks the question. When a person did an Aveda, like they ate chametz on Pesach, they did an Aveda called Kodesh, or eating on Yom Kippur, they died before they were 50 or 60, depending if it's Kodesh or Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the Alter Rebbe asks, why is there in every generation a lot of people that sinned with Kodesh? They ate chametz on Pesach, they ate on Yom Kippur, they did a lot of Avedas that they would normally die before 50 or 60, and yet these people are living long, happy, healthy, wealthy lives into the 90s and the 100s and whatever. So the Rebbe asked, why is it that it's possible that these people can live if the Torah says they're supposed to die? That was Al Rebbe's last question. So if you remember, last week we started, 2 weeks ago, we gave the answer already that was only the time of the Beis HaMikdash when they lived from Kedusha. Now we don't live from Kedusha, so it doesn't matter. But now the Alter Rebbe explains it. So on page 186, four lines in the bottom of the page. Acho inyan yuvan, the inyan could be understood, al pi ma shekosev, what it says in the Pasuk in Chumash, ki chelek Hashem amai, that a part of God is His nation, meaning the Jews are a part of Hashem. Chelek mishem avaye baruch hu, a part of Yudkei Vavkei, like it says in the Pasuk, Vayipach bi'ap of Nishmas Chaim, that Hashem blew into the nostrils of Adam Arishin, the Neshama of life, and the Zohar says, Uman de Nafach mitoichi Nafach, one that blows from his innards. We'll explain this whole thing in a second. He says, Va'avshen lidmus haguf chas shalom, even though Hashem doesn't have a form of a body, to say that he talks or blows or something, Ach dibra teira koloshim b'nei Adam, but the Torah speaks in human terms. Let me explain this outside before we learn it inside. We learned already in different places in Tanya. It says a lot of descriptive adjectives in Torah about Hashem. It speaks about the hand of God. It speaks about the finger of God. It speaks about the feet of God. Hashemayim kisi v'haaretz adem ragloi. The earth is where I put my feet. It says in Chumash, God spoke. It said God said. It says God blew. Now obviously, as the Rambam uses the expression, if somebody believes that Hashem has a body or does physical things, it's not pikeid, it's a non-believer, because Hashem doesn't have a body. Yet, when the Torah uses human terminologies on Hashem, it's for us to be able to understand a little bit these godly concepts. First, to have a little bit of an understanding. But what we have to do is this, as the Tzemach Tzedek uses the expression, we have to be lahavshit advarim migashmiyusam. We have to be able to remove these physical terms from the physical meanings and the coarse meanings of what they simply imply. Meaning as follows: when it says at the beginning of Chumash, Hashem spoke, Ve'yemer Elokim, God said, "Let there be light." There will be light. God said, "Let there be this." Hashem doesn't speak. What does it mean that Hashem spoke? So we learned already before many times that in order to understand what Hashem's speech is, we have to understand what is speech when a person talks. So the Alter Rebbe explains in various places in Tanya, what is speech? Speech is basically, human speech is basically a revelation of something which is hidden. speech is revealing to you what I'm thinking. What I think is concealed from you. You don't know what I'm thinking. If I want to tell you what I'm thinking, then I have to speak it. If somebody has a feeling towards somebody, the feeling is hidden. If you want to reveal that feeling, you speak it. You say, I love you, or I hate you, or whatever it is, but you verbally reveal something which is hidden. So therefore, when it says in Chumash, Hashem said, let there be light, it doesn't mean Hashem spoke and said, L'yihi er, doesn't mean that. It means as follows. Hashem has the ability to create light. That power, though, was hidden. It wasn't revealed. Vayemer Elokim, Hashem spoke, meaning Hashem revealed the power of light, and light became created. So basically, all this speech in Chumash, when it says Hashem spoke, let's say, to create world, it means Hashem revealed His hidden powers that He had to create world. When it comes to the neshama of Adam Arishon, the Torah changes terms. The Torah doesn't say, Hashem said, let there be a neshama. Hashem said, Nasa Adam, let's make man. That's the body. When it comes to the neshama, it doesn't say in Chumash, Hashem said, let there be a neshama. The pasuk says, Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, Hashem blew. Hashem blew a neshama. What does it mean, Hashem blew? Again, Hashem doesn't have a mouth. But speech and blowing are very similar. Air comes out when you speak. Air comes out when you blow. The difference is, speaking, you can talk and talk and talk and talk. And blowing, after half a minute, you're tired. You can't continue blowing anymore. Why? Because as you feel it within yourself, speech is a very external revelation coming out. It's a very limited amount of hot air coming out. When you blow, your whole innards are coming out. Your guts are coming, your kishkas are coming out. You feel that your whole inside is coming out. What does this mean? Everything that Hashem created in the world is a very external, limited revelation of Elokus. Therefore, the Torah says, Hashem spoke. When it comes to the neshama of Adam Arishon, neshama of a Yid, the Torah says, Hashem blew. That means He blew a part of Himself into Adam Arishon. So therefore, the Zayir explains that man did nafach, mitechin nafach, a person who blows from himself. The Alter Rebbe is explaining that's what the Pasuk is really saying, ki chelek Hashem amai, that a Jew is a part of God. As we know, the Alter Rebbe says, the neshama is chelek alaka mimal, it's a part of God above, because the neshama's relationship with God is not an external revelation like speeches, it's an internal, essential part of God coming out into Adam Arishon. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining, this is what the Pasuk says, Ki chelek Hashem amai, that a part of God is His nation. And the Alter Rebbe is in the middle of explaining, even though the Tatus uses the word that he blew, but the Alter Rebbe says, on top of the page, the Tatus speaks, Kolashim b'nei Adam. What does it mean? He speaks in human terms. Ki k'meishi yesh hefrish v'hevdol gadol. Just like there's a big difference. But Adam atachtim by a person down here, al derech mashu. Between the air that comes out of when you speak, the hevel that comes out through blowing, when a person speaks, it's a very limited amount of revelation coming out of the person. It's only the external level of nefesh of the level of the nefesh. That's why you can keep talking for a long time and you don't have a problem. Because you're giving out a very limited external power of the nefesh. But when a person blows, that blows from his innards, comes an internal, essential level of life, from the nefesh of existence. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain that a Jew's relationship with Hashem is an essential bond. It's an internal bond and an essential bond. So he says, Koch mamish al derech mashul. So it is a mavdal avdolos leinketz in an infinite separation between the gashmistika mashul and the way it is by Hashem. He says, Yeshafresh otzim ma'ed lemaila. There's a tremendously big difference between kol tzva shemayim, between all the hosts of the heaven, afilo malachim, even the angels, which seemingly are the highest of all creations, shenivro me'ayin liyesh, they are created something into nothing, v'chayim v'kayamim, and they are living in existing mepchinas chitanias achayis, from the external level, v'ashef, and the sustenance, shemashpia eintzav baruchu, that Hashem is giving them, lahachi yisraelim, is to give life to the worlds, and this is called, ubchinas ruach, then nukr b'shum ruach piv, like it says, Ruach Piv Kotzavam, and the Alter Rebbe keeps going, but it means, the Alter Rebbe says the same thing, there's a fundamental difference between everything of creation, including angels, including the heavenly spheres, which are more spiritual and greater than the earthly spheres. You can't compare them to the neshama of the Jew. Because everything in the universe was created by Hashem's words, by Hashem's speech. Which means it's a very external revelation of Hashem. The neshama of the Jew comes from the essence of Hashem. So therefore, even though the existence of everything in the world is coming from Hashem, but you don't say on the table it's a part of God. Even though the table's existence is from the power of Hashem that's in it, nevertheless, you're not going to say it's a part of God. Why not? Because it's a very limited, concealed, external tzimtzum dika chayis that's coming from Hashem to give existence to the table. The neshama, on the other hand, God blew, that is the essence of Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe is just elaborating on this difference, which he says, between everything else that was created, bein nishmas ha'adam, and you can understand the difference between that and the neshama of a yid, that comes from the internal, essential life of Hashem. And the essential sustenance that God gives, like it says, God blew. Another gashmistic commercial for this, by the way, the Alter Rebbe mentions in Perek Beis of Tanya, which is also fundamental to this aspect, and it's really the same aspect. There's a sustenance of father in creating a child, and there's also sustenance if you teach somebody knowledge. If you teach somebody knowledge, you're also giving something. You're giving them knowledge. When you create a child, the sustenance of the sperm, of the seed that the father is giving, comes from the essence of the father. It's different than when you teach somebody intellect, you teach somebody business, or you teach somebody how to draw, you teach somebody how to do something. That's not the essence of the person. The artist is not going to look like you. The student is not going to look like you. The child has the same genes and all the existence of the father and mother, obviously. Why? Because that hashpah, that sustenance that the father is giving, is a much deeper, essential giving than what you're giving when you just give something external. You give something intellect. Intellect is not your essence. So if you teach intellect, and that's why the Alter Rebbe explains in the second parak why the Jews are called the children of God. Because just like Bonamatam L'Shem Elokeichem, the Jews are Hashem's children. Why? Because just like a child comes from the essence of the father, and the sustenance of creating the child comes from the essence of the father. So the same way, so to speak, in the analogy, the Jews are coming from the essence of Hashem. Yeah.
So why is it that when a non-Jew has from a Jew, the child is considered not Jewish if the essence is of a father and the father is Jewish?
So why does religion follow the mother, you mean?
No, then the child is considered not Jewish.
Right.
But he has the essence of a Jewish father.
Yeah, but according to Torah, you're right. The Chedi has something from the Jewish father, But nevertheless, the Torah says that the power of the child, the creation of the child, is coming from the mother. The mother is the one that has the baby, right? She is actually creating the baby. The father's donation, the father's gift to the mother is, as Chassidus explains, to reveal that power of creation that the mother has. In other words, the actual creation, though, comes from the mother. That's why the Rebbe explained many times, you know, when God forbid, somebody is sick, you make a mishaberach, you use the mother's name. Yeah? So, the question, why do you use the mother's name? So, in simple halacha, the reason is that you know for sure who is. The mother, the father, who knows? The mother, you know for sure who's the mother. But in a deeper level, the reason why you make a mishaberach, because the existence of the child is really from the mother, not from the father. The father's hashpah, the father's giving, is to reveal that power, that koyach, within the woman to be able to create. And therefore, it's interesting, the Rebbe explains, the Rebbe spoke about this to the women many times. There's two aspects in a Jew. For instance, there's an aspect being Jewish or not Jewish, and then there's an aspect of which tribe you come from. You know, whether you come from Reuven, Shimon, Levi, or whatever. Now, whether you're Jewish or not comes from the mother. What tribe you belong to comes from the father. Why? Because the essence of the person is the Jew, not the Reuven, Shimon, or Levi. The revelation of the child, meaning how do they identify themselves, that identification comes from the father.
The kibura of the father and the chesed of
the mother. That's too complicated for my head. Maybe. I don't know.
Why after the death you use father's name?
No, after death you also use, look in the Siddur by Yiska, you use the mother's name.
Both when is somebody alive in it.
Look in the Siddur by Yiska, it says Plaini ben Plainis.
You call the Torah?
No. Call the Torah, it's calling up the Torah, so you call the father's name because it's a man's thing.
What we write on the Matzeva?
On the Matzeva they write the father's name. But when you mention... It's in Yisker, it's the mother's name. I know everybody does the father's name. I mean, if you look in the Siddur by the mother's name, by Yisker. But anyway, let's not get off the point. The point is, there's the revelation part. I'll give you an example. We live in America, yeah? And we're Jewish. Are we American Jews or Jewish Americans? It's not a play of words. It's an essential, fundamental difference. An American Jew means the American is the description of the Jew. That means my essence is a Jew. What type of Jew am I? An American Jew, a Russian Jew, a French Jew, whatever it is. When you say I'm a Jewish American, the Jewish is the adjective. That means I'm really American. I happen to be Jewish. Okay, we're not Jewish Americans. We are American Jew, because Jew is the essence. An American, you can change. You can move to a different country. You're not an American Jew anymore. Right? The Jew is the essence. The essence of the child comes from the mother because she carries the baby, she gives birth to the baby, and therefore the essence is developed by the mother. The koyach of revealing that power that the woman should be able to start the process, that comes from the man. But the analogy of the Yidden being the children of Hashem, or that Hashem blew into Adam a spark, which is really the same concept, is that the neshama of the Yid is actually part of the essence of Hashem. While everything else in creation is only a limited extension of Hashem. Hashem spoke, that was it. And it became. Shem revealed the power that he had to make something, it became. So on the fifth day, or whatever it was, that Hashem created the Malachim, it doesn't say Hashem blew Malachim. You know, it says Hashem said, let there be different things, and Chazal interpreted it to mean angels too. So they were all created, Yeshmiah, with Hashem's speech. So their relationship with Hashem is a very limited external relationship. A neshama is a part of God. Because it's the essence of Hashem. It's not as complicated as it sounds, and it's really much more complicated than it sounds. But it works both ways. Okay, back inside. So he says, in the middle of the page, there's a big difference between everything else that was created with Hashem's speech, ubein nishmas ha'adam, and between the speech of a person, between the neshama of a yid, shenim shcha tchila, that was first drawn down, mebchinas pnimias achayas, from the internal life, v'ashef and the sustenance, shemashpia intzav baruch hu, that Hashem gave the meaning, this essential bond, k'meshekotza, like it says, v'yipach, then Daltreb explains, it also lowered itself through the letters of speech when Hashem said, let us make man. That should come into this body. Meaning, there's the essence of the neshama, it's called the Pintal Yid, whichever way you would call it. And then you have the way the neshama comes into the body. The way the neshama comes into the body after the initially essential neshama, that is through speech. That is a limited level. And that's why the neshama in the body is not the same level as the essence of the neshama. But the essence of the neshama is actually a part of Hashem. But when it comes into the body, it's restricted, it's limited, it's concealed in a way that you don't feel godliness anymore. Which explains a very simple question. If we have a Nisham which is part of God, so why aren't we on the highest of levels? You know, we're part of God. So the truth is, we are. In the essence, we're on the highest of levels. When you reveal the essence, there's nothing standing in the way. But the bottom is, the problem is, the essence is blocked. It's concealed. Meaning, as the Friedrich Rebbe said in the famous story, that we are engraved letters that are full of mud. So, the letter is there. The letter is there. The engraved letter is there. It's just covered with mud. You don't see it. But you don't have to recreate the letter. You don't have to rewrite the letter. It's like we learned many times. It's not ink and parchment that the letter can fade away, that there is no more letter. You have to rewrite the letter. That's not the way it is by a neshama. By neshama, the part of God is engraved. It's part and parcel of our existence. It could be covered so much with mud, you don't even know there's a tombstone there. You know what I mean? It's so covered with mud, you don't see it. That doesn't mean the letters are not there. The letters are there. Sometimes, to clean, you know, when you have a dusty surface, so sometimes you can just take a little shmata and clean off the dust. Sometimes you need to blow a little bit to remove the dust. Sometimes you need to take a little spoon, you know, to take away the dust. Sometimes you need a shovel. Sometimes you need a bulldozer to take away the dust, to take away the mud. But the chelek alaka is there. Once it comes into the body, it could become concealed. Yep. Not only that, Altareb is going to explain, and this is the whole point that Altareb is bringing out. It's going to take time, but Altareb, because it's basic concepts. Altareb explains, because we are a part of God, when we go down, so does He. Huh? When we go down, He goes with us. Now, why does He go with us? God is God, He can do whatever He wants. That's the way He set up the system. He set up the system in a way that when He goes down with us. Now, if a person sins, and the part of God they're connected to is the letter Hey of God's name, and we sin and we go down, Hey is going down with us. I don't mean the Hey for horses. I mean, Hey of Hashem's name is going down with us. So what's the concept of tshuva? Returning that level of hey back to where it belongs. We sin, he goes down. Because hey is that level of godliness, of malchus, which is our source in Elokus. So when we go down, it's like a rope. You know, like he's going to explain, Yaakov chaval nachalasa, Yaakov is the rope of God's inheritance. When you have something tied to the, if you go mountain climbing, yeah, and all the people are tied to one another, and the bottom guy goes down, so everybody goes with them. Huh? It's a Rashi and Chumash. When Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, and the Jews sinned in the eagle, so Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechred, which simply means, it's like Yeshiva English, go down, right? So Rashi quotes from Chazal, what's the double expression, Lech Reid? So Rashi says, Lech Reid Megdulascha, go down from your greatness. I only gave you greatness because of the Jews. When the Jews are down, so are you. When a Jew sins, they schlep God into Golos, and all the tzaddikim into Golos, and every Jew into Golos. That's what the Rambam says. You're an equally balanced scale. You do an Aveiri, you schlep the whole scale down to bad. You do a mitzvah, you elevate everybody up to good. What's what's the big deal?
Whole world, not only the
Shechina. I said to everybody, everything. What's the problem?
The problem is that we do it.
So, do it.
This is the problem,
that we do it. So don't have problems, don't do it. But that's the bottom line of what happens when a person doesn't evade it. Because we are so connected, that's why when we go down, we drag him with us. If we wouldn't be connected to him, it doesn't have the impact on him. So when a guy sins, it's not the same impact on Hashem that we have, because they're not a part of Hashem. They're not a rope which is connected. Mm-hmm. What? When he what? I didn't hear what you said. Yes, there's a big difference. When a person doesn't do a mitzvah, he doesn't drag Hashem down because he didn't do anything active. It's passive.